outstanding. 1 Samuel, if you turn there in your Bible, please. Last Wednesday, I wasn't here, Brother Thomas preached, but the Wednesday before that, I preached about seven things that Satan will steal from a Christian. But before that, we were going over David and the life of David and talked about the criteria of the king and how the similarities between David's life and Jesus' life. And then we talked about the covenant of a friend, and we talked about the friendship between David and Jonathan and how it was a personal friendship, and it was a passionate friendship, and it was a protecting friendship, and that it was a permanent friendship. And I'm glad that we have a friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad that it's permanent, it's forever. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm glad that we have that. And as we read through the Bible, we can see these truths that God shows us even through the lives of these stories that we read in the Bible. And I don't always like to just call them stories. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but these accounts really happened in the Word of God. They're not just stories, they really took place. But God's trying to teach us some things about it. And we can shout and rejoice that we have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad that I can run to Him whenever I need Him. I'm glad that He's by my side no matter which area we go through life. And I'm glad for that. But tonight I was trying to continue on studying through the life of David and some different things. And as the stories go on, we're gonna talk about something here tonight. And honestly, I've been arguing with God all day about preaching this message. I really didn't want to preach it. It's not a very shouting the rooftop off type sermon. It's a very sobering type sermon. But I believe if we're not careful, we can get to the same place that Saul was in his life. And Saul was anointed to be king in Gilgal, as we read. When he started off, Saul was a very humble man. And when Samuel came to anoint King Saul, Saul didn't feel worthy of being king. And he asked, you know, are you sure that basically it's going to be? He didn't feel worthy of it. But now here it is in his life, and Samuel had told him that God had said to utterly destroy the Amalekites, to go destroy them, wipe them off the face of the earth. And we know that Saul disobeyed those orders. And they kept the good things of the city, and they brought Agag back, and they didn't do what God had told them to do. And so Samuel was told by God to tell Saul that God had rejected him from being king because of his disobedience. And he said, for to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And we know that at that time, that's when God had said, now Samuel, you got to go make and anoint another king over the nation. And he said, I'm going to show you. And listen, Samuel was afraid to do that because he knew what kind of temper Saul had. He knew that if he wasn't careful, if Saul heard about it, that he was going to end up trying to kill Samuel. But God said, no, just tell him that you're going over here to sacrifice and to do this, and I'll guide you. And so he goes over to the house of Jesse, and he says, Jesse's got a son that God said I'm going to anoint to be king. And as he brings all the sons through, I'm seeing how Samuel says, man, this has got to be him. Look how big and strong this guy is. Man, look how wonderful this guy is. And God said, nope, that's not him. Nope, that's not him. Goes down all the way through and said, no, it's not him. And finally, Samuel's saying, look, Jesse, you got any more kids? He says, well, yeah, only David. But David's out there keeping the sheep. He said, well, go get him. And so I'm just recapping to bring you to where we are tonight, okay? And so he tells him to get him, and he brings him in. And that God makes his approval and stamp of approval on David's life. And we talked about how David was the shepherd and he was doing what his father told him to do. And then the battle came and all David's brothers go out to battle. And here comes David obeying what his dad tells him to do, to take food to his brothers. And he goes out to do that. And here's Goliath defying the army of God. And when Goliath defies the army of God, and David stands up and said, is there not a cause? And his brothers get mad about it. His brothers start criticizing him over it. His brothers start just telling him that he's prideful and that's all he's doing it for. And he says, listen, what have I now done? I didn't do anything wrong. There's somebody defying our God and somebody needs to stand up and take care of it. Well, then he stands before King Saul and King Saul tries to arm him with his armor. We know he goes out and he destroys Goliath with the help of God. And then he comes back and he's going back to do what his father told him to do and keep the sheep. And then Saul is looking for somebody to help his spirits, to play the music that's going to lift him up. And he heard that David knew how to do that. And so he begins to have David come and do all that. And here we are in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And if we read verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." We talk about the anointing of David. He just anointed David to be king. Now let's see what happens in verse 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Now here Saul is with a troubled spirit, and he needed David to come play a harp and try to make his spirits feel better. But I'm going to talk to you tonight. We talked about the criteria of the king and how he was similar to the life of Jesus Christ. And we talked about the covenant of a friend and how Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about something that's very sobering. And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in the same position that Saul was in throughout the rest of the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to talk to you tonight about the title here, "The Catastrophe of Bitterness." The catastrophe of bitterness. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll talk about that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Lord, I stand where the arm of the flesh will fail me, and I need your help and I need your touch tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you please to be in our midst, that you'll just help this message as we go through and we talk about what happened in Saul's life. And Lord, how if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in the same situation. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to honor and glorify you with our life. And Lord, that we'll not allow bitterness to creep in and to destroy us from what we're supposed to be doing. And Lord, we give the praise, the honor, and glory for it. Use this message as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says, an evil spirit came upon Saul. And I believe that was some bitterness that came in his life. Already, he's already upset that God had rejected him from being king. And now here's David has been anointed to be king, and it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. And I believe Saul was sitting there soaking and souring like most Christians do in church. They sit soaking sour and sometimes shout, just on occasion. But most of the time we sit there with the poochy lip disease because we think that the Lord's not doing good by us. And that's how Saul felt. Saul felt, you know, I'm supposed to be king, and here now God said he's rejecting me. And he had that feeling of bitterness growing up inside of him. And if we read in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, if you'll flip over there real quickly, 1 Samuel 18, let's look at verse 7 all the way down through verse 12. It says, "And the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands." Man, they were praising Saul there, weren't they? "Saul has slain his thousands." And then Saul probably felt good about himself. Hey, you know what? They said, "I killed my thousand." But then they finished the song, and he said, "But David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth," the Bible says. "And the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom?" Sounds like he's whining here, doesn't it? Sound like he's griping and complaining. "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." You know what it's saying here, Brother Thomas? It was saying he was bitter against David. It's saying that he began to pout about what had happened in his life. Listen, I think it's a pretty good testimony that Saul had killed his thousands. What a warrior he must have been. But then he says, "And David has killed his 10,000. You know, that's what happens to us in church a lot of times. Well, you know, they say, "Man, they just led 10 people to the Lord." And people shout and say, "But they led 15. "Well, I led 10 and nobody's pointing me out. They led 15. And we start whining about things like that. If we're not careful, we can allow that to become bitterness in our heart and our life. Listen, I don't care if somebody else led more people to the Lord than you did. If you're serving God and you're doing what God has told you to do, you ought to rejoice in the fact that somebody else was able to lead people to Christ, that somebody else was being able to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ, that somebody else was able to have the Lord bless them and help them. And if we would just get off of this competition thing, trying to compare ourselves one with another like Saul was trying to do, that's what happens a lot of times when bitterness swells up and bitterness comes in our life, is we begin to compare ourselves with one another and we start saying, "You know what, Brother Jeff, I think I can do that better than you can. And they say you can do it better than me, and I don't think that's right." That's kind of what Saul's doing here. He said, they said David did his 10,000. They only said I killed my thousands. You know, somebody need to hand him a tissue, you know, because he's crying so much. But as he's reading down through, if we continue, it says in verse 10, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice." Listen, the first time somebody threw a javelin at me, I don't think I'd go back. I don't know about you. But David had some guts here, and David come back, and he's trying to prophesy to the king. He's trying to help the king. He's trying to encourage the king and uplift the king, because guess what? David's not king yet. So he's trying to steal the anointed that God has anointed. He's still trying to do this. This is a good helpful hint, okay? Even though it doesn't seem like things are going good, you always need to honor those that God's placed in authority over you, whether you agree or disagree with them. You see, because the Bible says that even though Saul was wrong, it said David behaved himself wisely. We need to be careful with that. Young people, listen, just because, I know most of the teenagers are in there, but kids, listen up. Just because you may not agree with your mom or dad doesn't mean that you can disrespect them. They're still an authority figure that God has placed in your life. But here he says he went back and twice he had to dodge out of the presence of Saul to fear for his life there. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. First thing I want you to see about the catastrophe of bitterness is that the bitterness will decay your spiritual life. Bitterness will decay your spiritual life. You know what happens a lot of times? We get saved, man, we're on fire for God. We're excited about doing something for God. If you read about the story of Saul, when Saul was first anointed, Saul was humble. Saul was a servant of God. He was willing to please God. He wanted to do things for God. But now, somebody else is being exalted higher than him. And so here's what he's saying now as he's eyeing David. He's bitter at David. And now his life is not focused on pleasing the Lord. It's focused on trying to make himself better than David is. And for people to look more on him than they look on David. And it was decaying his spiritual life. How many times have we seen that happen in our lives? We get excited about serving God. We get excited about doing things for the Lord. We tell the Lord, hey, I want to serve you. I want to do something with your life, with my life. I come down to this altar and I get my heart clean before God. And I get up and I go back and I work and I labor and I toil. And I do the things that God wants me to do. And I pull weeds at the church. And I spray Roundup at the church. And I do all kinds of things at church. Man, I'll come and I'll help. Man, I'll clean the bathrooms. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then I never get any recognition for it. But somebody else, all they do is get up and lead songs and everybody knows who they are. And if we're not careful, we can allow something like that to derail us or to decay our spiritual life. And that's what happened with Saul. Saul began to be more focused, Brother Tim, on what people were saying about David rather than what people were saying about him. They were uplifting somebody else and not uplifting him. And his pride began to swell up inside of him. And he began to have this bitterness towards David. And he began to try to, his whole life, in the whole rest of the book of 1 Samuel, as you read all the way to his death, he lives a miserable, bitter life because he didn't focus on his spirituality. He focused on trying to uplift himself. You understand, the Bible says don't lift yourself up. Don't lift yourself up. He said let God lift you up. If we serve God and let God do what God wants to do with our life, and we're humble servants before God, listen, it's not about recognition here on this earth. You know what, Brother Jeff? I don't care if anybody knows that I'm the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church across this globe. It doesn't matter because I'm not here for an empire. I'm here for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter, Brother Tim, if somebody else is a better preacher than me. Oh, you know what? I sit down sometimes and I hear preachers preach, Brother Shane, and I think, man, Lord, if I could preach like that. And then God gives us a wife, you know, to remind us that we're not that person and that God made you who you are. And we just need to be satisfied with the way God made us. And praise the Lord for godly wives that'll do that kind of stuff. Amen. But, you know, Saul was allowing this to decay his spiritual life. And what happens when somebody, Brother Daniel, comes to church? They get on fire for God. They get all excited about the things of God. And man, their preacher, it doesn't matter what you want me to do. I'll do whatever. It doesn't matter. Change light bulbs. I don't care. If we got to get out here and dig a ditch, I'm there, preacher. I'll do it. But then they start saying, well, wait a second. I was out here laboring and toiling, and all somebody else was doing was folding letters, and somebody else recognized them, and they didn't recognize me. And the devil uses that little seed of bitterness that's planted in our hearts, and what it does is it begins to decay our spiritual life. I heard a statement one time that said, and I wrote it down, and it fits perfectly with this message. It says, bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. Here's what happens is somebody who allows that seed of bitterness to come inside. They may think it's just something small. It's just something little. And you know what? It started out in Saul's life. It probably started out very small. But then as it began to fester, and as it began to grow, and as he began to take his focus off of the spiritual aspect of his life, and he began to focus around on what everybody else around him was saying, and they weren't praising him, they were praising David. He began to allow that seed of bitterness to grow up, and it began to decay his spiritual life. Listen, the catastrophe of bitterness is that, number one, is bitterness will decay your spiritual life. I don't know what's happened to you in your lifetime. I can't explain why circumstances happen other than the fact that God allows them to happen. Listen, if anybody in the Bible was able to be bitter, in my eyes, it would have been Job. Job had every reason that we could imagine to be bitter. But the Bible says that he didn't charge God foolishly. He understood who owned everything. He understood whose he was, and he was God's. And what we need to understand is that I don't understand sometimes why God allows things to happen. I don't understand why bad circumstances happen to good people. All I know is that bad circumstances happen to all people. And we don't understand why sometimes. But God never promised to tell us why. God promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he's there with us every step of the way, that though we don't understand it, though we may not comprehend it, his ways are above our ways, his thoughts are above our thoughts. He has everything lined up exactly the way he wants it to be. And if we'll just stay with him and stay on the path with God, and we won't allow that seed of bitterness to stay in there. Listen, if that seed first gets in there, you need to pluck it out right then. Because once them roots begin to grow, it's a lot harder to pull it out when you get there. And it hurts a whole lot more to pull it out when you get there. But not only does bitterness decay your spiritual life, bitterness will derail your service for God. Now here, it'll decay your spiritual life. Guess what will happen when you begin to read the Word of God and you got bitterness in your heart? God's not going to speak to you the way that he normally would. You know what happens if we read down through, and later on we'll read this verse, but it talks about how Saul called upon the Lord. But it said the Lord didn't answer him. The Lord didn't talk to him. Here it said the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. God wasn't talking to Saul. God wasn't speaking with him. You know why? Because he had some bitterness in his life. Bitterness will derail your service for God. Look at 1 Samuel 15. In verse 23, we have to flip back a few pages, but 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, we've already talked about this, and this is what Samuel is telling Saul when he disobeyed God. He says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." It'll derail your service for God. Guess what Saul's job was? He was to be king of the nation. But because Saul began to allow pride to come in, and he began to try to do things his own way, he began to try to not listen to what God had said, but he's king, he's going to do it his way. Then God rejected him from being king. And that's where this whole seed began to start. And now he can't do what God has called him to do. He's not doing it. Why? Because he's allowing bitterness to control his life. He's allowing bitterness to control his life. Flip over to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. Look at what it says here in verse 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me." And listen what it says, "And answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." So here we know that after Samuel died, that Saul made a decree. He was getting rid of all the wizards and the witchcraft and all that thing. But here, he's calling upon God, Brother Daniel, and God's not answering him. He's looking for a prophet to tell him what to do. But this seed of bitterness is too much. The root's growing too big. And God's not talking to him. God's not answering him. So what he does is he says, "Hey, listen, I want somebody to go down here and I'm going to disguise myself and I'm going to have this woman who calls spirits up to try to call up Samuel. Maybe Samuel can tell me what to do." And when she calls him up and she realizes who it is, she tells Saul, "Listen, you're doing this to try to get my life." Because he said, anybody that's here, if you read the passage, he said, they all need to be out of town. If they're still here, they're going to be dead. You need to get rid of them all. Now she's saying, you're playing a trick on me, Saul. He said, "No, I'm not. Nothing's going to happen to you. I just want to know from Samuel what's going to happen." And so here's some witchcraft is coming in now, and they're trying to bring back Samuel. Samuel basically says this. He says, "Saul, you're done. You're done. You've allowed this bitterness to fester way too long in your life. You've hunted David for no reason at all. God's rejected you. He's not going to speak to you. You're going to die." That's not what Saul wanted to hear. Saul wasn't expecting that. But here, bitterness had derailed his service for God. All throughout the passage, if you read all the way through 1 Samuel, the whole life that Saul has, he spends hunting David and mad at David and bitter at David. All the way from the time that David was anointed to be king, Saul was out to get him. Saul was trying to destroy him. Saul was trying to do that. And listen, that's what happens in our churches today. If somebody does something that we don't like, somebody says something that we don't like, and we get bitter about it. Somebody does something that we didn't think should have been done, and we get upset about it, and we never let that thing go. And we just let it fester, and we let it fester, and we let it grow, and we let it grow, and we let it grow. And then pretty soon, we're not thinking about spiritual things. Our service for God's no longer. We're not doing anything, but it consumes our every thought. It consumes everything about us. Is this root of bitterness that's inside. This catastrophe of bitterness. Bitterness will decay your spiritual life. It'll derail your service for God. Here's another thing it'll do. It'll destroy relationships with the brethren. It'll destroy relationships with the brethren. Look at 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22. This is part of a story where Saul's still hunting David. David's running for his life. David's gone down to see some people and they've given him the sword of Goliath. And David goes on, but here's what happens, starting in verse 9. "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, 'I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath.'" Don't you like tattletales? This guy's being a big tattletale, isn't he? "Then the king sent to call him Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, 'Hear now thy son of Ahitub.' And he answered, 'Here am I, my lord.' And Saul said unto him, 'Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him the bread and the sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise up against me to lie in wait at this day?'" He's saying, "Listen, why'd you choose David over me? Why'd you pick him over me? I'm the king. Why are you picking David over me?" And look what he says. In verse 14, it says, "Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law? And goeth at thy bidding, and it is honorable in thy house.'" He's saying, "Listen, David's done nothing but serve you. David's done nothing but good. He's one of the best servants you have. He's your son-in-law. Why are you out to get him for? What's the problem? Verse 15, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto my servant, nor all of his house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die him. You think he's still bitter about this? He's saying, listen, you helped David. And because of that, I'm going to kill you. And so he said, listen, I want you to kill him. And the servant there says, hold on a second. I'm not going to kill him. He didn't do anything wrong. Why would I kill him? Then he looks at Doeg, the tattletale, and he tells Doeg, you kill him. So Doeg does it. And Doeg kills Ahimelech and all of his family. But one of them escaped to David. And he runs. Look at verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all these persons of my father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For listen, look at what it says, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. You know what? The bitterness now didn't just affect David. The bitterness in Saul's life wasn't just towards David now. The bitterness in Saul's life now caused division between him and everybody else that wasn't on his side. Anybody that didn't agree with what Saul had to say, anybody that wasn't there to pat him on the back, anybody that wasn't there to lift him up, he was out to get them. And it destroyed his relationship with the brethren. Listen, he was willing to kill the priests because they were willing to help David, just because he had a seed of bitterness in his life. That sounds very familiar to me as a story in the book of Genesis. If you flip over there, Genesis chapter number 37. Very familiar passage in the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 37. And you'll recognize this story as I begin to read it in verse number 11. And it says, and his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. Who's that talking about? Joseph. We know what happened in the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream, a vision of God that God had given him. And God gave him that vision. And he tells his brothers about the vision. And he says, hey, how these 11 bowed down to my one. And then all these things. And he's talking about that. And they get envious of him. They get bitter at him. They get mad at him. And guess what it did? It destroyed their relationship with their brother. You know what happens when we allow bitterness to come in? It destroys the relationship of our church folks. It destroys our relationships one with another. We're supposed to be the family of God. We're supposed to encourage one another, edify one another, build each other up. We're supposed to help one another in the cause of Christ. When somebody falls, we're not supposed to kick them while they're down. We're supposed to pick them back up and try to help them along the way. We're supposed to keep their feet on sure ground and try to help them walk. But what happens is we allow bitterness to get in and say, I'm not going to help them. Man, they get recognized more than I do. And listen, I understand this is the Wednesday night crowd, this is the faithful crowd, this is the one, but this is the ones that the devil's going to try to use. Say, you know what, preacher, I'm faithful to church all the time. Preacher, I'm the one that's there all the time. These people aren't there all the time. Why you use them and you don't use me? We got to be careful of that because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the work of the Lord. And the whole thing that Saul had messed up in his mind is that God had anointed a king because the people didn't want Jesus to be king. They didn't want God to be king. So they said, we want a king. So God gave them a king. Listen, God should have been their king. God should have been first. God should have been the one on the throne. God should have been the first one in their life. He should have been the one they were following after. He should have been the one they were longing for. He should have been the one that they wanted to have a relationship with. But no, they wanted to be like everybody else. And they said, we want a king. So God gave them a king. And then Saul got bitter because he disobeyed God. Somebody else was getting that position. He got mad about it. You know what happens? That happens a lot of times in churches. I hear about it all the time. Church splits over stupid things. Over things that have no eternal value whatsoever. Over things that don't mean anything. They get mad because they weren't here the night of the vote. And somebody voted about something. They say, preacher, you did that without us voting on it. And they get upset about it. And they allow bitterness to creep in, and they get mad at church folks. And it doesn't just stop with the preacher. They don't just get mad at the preacher. They go to this person and that person, and they say, well, preacher didn't do anything wrong. Well, you're siding with him now against you too. And you all get upset about things, and a big church split happens. And it destroys your relationship with the brethren. Listen, if we're not careful, we can allow little things. Guess what? Sometimes people make comments because they say things before they speak sometimes. Okay, it just, or they say things before they speak. They speak before they think, okay? Like I just did. They speak before they think. But let's just understand something, is that we're all sinners. We all do something wrong. There's none righteous, no, not one. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we're perfect. And we need to have patience. And we need to help one another and encourage one another. And don't let bitterness creep in. Because when it does, it'll destroy your spiritual life. It'll derail your service for God. It destroys your relationship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's another thing that bitterness will do. It won't just stop with the people in the church. It won't just stop with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Lastly, bitterness will divide a family. It'll divide a family. I'm talking about your immediate family. I'm not just talking about your church family. You allow bitterness to creep in, it's not just going to stay there in church. It's not just going to stay there focused on the one that offended you. You're going to start getting mad at everybody else that doesn't agree with the way that you think that things ought to happen, the way that you think things ought to go, and you're just going to get upset and bitter, and that devil's going to allow that root just to keep growing and growing and growing and growing in your life, and then it's going to come to where it affects your family at home. It affects your lifestyle at home. It affects things at home in such a way that it divides the families. You know what happens a lot of times when splits happen at home and different things take place? It's because there's bitterness that has happened. And people can't forgive and people can't do this. And sometimes that happens. Listen, I understand there's sometimes that's not always the case. There's sometimes by no help, by there's nothing that other people can do about certain situations. But most of the time it's because we allow pride and bitterness to come up in our life. But look what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 20. If you'll flip over there, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. You would think if anybody was mad, Brother Shane, about this whole situation, it would have been Jonathan. Because Jonathan was next in line to be king. He was Saul's son. But Jonathan loved David. And Jonathan was right with God. And he knew that God had anointed David to be king. So guess what he did? Lord, I accept it. If that's what you want, that's what's going to happen. But look at what happens in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. And let's look at verse number 29. This is Jonathan is answering Saul about where David is. And look at verse 28. It says, "And Jonathan answered Saul, 'David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brother. And therefore he cometh not unto the king's table.'" Then look what happens in verse number 30. "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, 'Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion?'" And unto, it's still about him and David. He's still bringing this situation up. He's looking at him and said, "Listen, the only reason you said he could go is because you love him more than you love your dad. Let me tell you what, you're wicked." And he's just going off on his own family because of bitterness that's in his life. Because of that root of bitterness that he's allowed to get inside of him. And look at verse 31. "For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established. Thou shalt," he says, "thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom." What he's saying is, guess what, John? He's trying to turn Jonathan against David. He's saying, guess what? As long as David's alive, you're never going to be king. As long as David's alive, you're never going to get the throne. And he's trying to pass that bitterness on to get somebody else to be mad. "Wherefore, now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Listen, he was willing to kill his own son because of bitterness that was in his life. Jonathan was saying, "Look, Dad, what'd David do to you? David's not done anything wrong. And Saul just threw a javelin at him and tried to kill him. And Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David, verse 34. And Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. What a sad, sad story. What a sad story. Then we read all the way through the book of Samuel, and we come to the time where Saul is dying. Saul goes out to battle. After he finds out his fate on what's going to happen, the Bible says that the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. And it says, and Saul fell, and his sons, and Jonathan, and Melchishua, and all his sons fell, and they died that day. And Saul was sore wounded of the archers. And the Bible says that he asked the armor bearer, he says, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. What he's saying is, just kill me. Put me out of my misery. And the guy said, I'm not going to kill you, Saul. So Saul pulls his own sword and falls upon it and commits suicide because of bitterness that happened in his life. Saul ended up anointed to be king in Gilgal. But over here in Gilboa, he kills himself. Why? Because the catastrophe of bitterness happened in his life. He allowed a circumstance to control everything about him, to control his thoughts, to control everything about him. His anger, he hunted David, and twice David could have killed him. But David said, I'm not going to lay my hand against God as anointed. Abishai was saying, let me do it. I'll kill him. I'll take the spear and I'll run him through and stick him to the ground, David. And David said, nope, you're not going to touch God's anointed. Twice he told Saul, look, I could have had your life, but I didn't. And Saul ended up dying, committing suicide with a life of misery, a life of heartache. I bet a life of regret, because all this time that he was spent hunting David with this big root of bitterness, he destroyed, his spiritual life was decayed. His service for God was derailed. His relationship with the brethren were destroyed. And his family was divided. Let me ask you this, is there bitterness in your life? I don't know why God had me preach this message tonight. I really don't know. I was actually wanting to be on a positive note. But Saul allowed bitterness to destroy him. Saul allowed a seed of bitterness to get him to the place in his life where he just, I don't know what was going through his mind. I really don't. When he was wounded by the archers, I think all this stuff, Brother Thomas, was just coming back to him. And he's just saying, you know what, I want to be put out of my misery. I just want to be done with all this. Listen, you don't have to get that far. If you would just snatch out that seed of bitterness before it becomes a root and get rid of it, listen, you can't just leave the seed there. You can't just prune bitterness and expect it to go away. You can't just clip it off and think, okay, I'm done with it. Bitterness is something that's got to be pulled up by the roots. It's something that you got to dig down, Brother Tim, into the ground and rip it up by the roots, or it's going to continue to grow. You ever notice how, I think of a weed. How many times we go and pull weeds? You know, we see them coming up through the blacktop. And what do? We pull them out. We even shoot them with Roundup. And what happens? Their brother grows up next to them, you know. And they just keep on multiplying, and they keep on multiplying, and they keep on multiplying. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness will get you to try to get other people against the one that you're bitter at. That's what Saul did with Jonathan. He said, look, as long as David's alive, you're never going to be king. But Jonathan's heart was different than Saul's was. Jonathan was willing to follow God and allow God's will to be first in his life. I wonder, do we have bitterness? I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know why God had me preach this message tonight. Maybe there's somebody that's offended you and you've not been able to let it go. Maybe there's somebody that's hurt you and you've not been able to let it go. Maybe there's just something that's you just disagree with and you've just been letting it fester and grow in your life. You got to be careful because it'll destroy. It'll destroy you. It'll decay you. It'll derail you. And it'll divide you. Head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. This isn't a message I like to preach, but it's something that needs to be preached. The catastrophe of bitterness. The catastrophe of bitterness. Bitterness will decay your spiritual life. Bitterness will derail your service for God. Bitterness will destroy your relationship with the brethren. And bitterness will divide your family. Remember that quote, bitterness is like cancer, it eats upon the host.